Thanks, Alan.
Yeah, we had a great morning yesterday for those that were there. If you weren't able to be, as Alan said, it's been recorded. And just looking at the vision of where we're going as a church, which is really exciting, both in terms of what we're building here very locally in White Inch, but also just the grace God has given us to be an influence way beyond that. And I just think that's a wonderful thing that God's Spirit has been doing in this place for some time now. And I think we're at a really exciting stage of that shifting to a new level. And if if there's stuff about that you want to talk about, if there's stuff you're thinking, I'm not too sure about that or how I fit in with that, then come talk to us. Talk with Alan, talk with Helen and I. Let's talk it through and let's just really, we want to maximize what we can do together. We want to see everybody involved. We had a wee kind of prophetic picture at the time yesterday of a kind of audience and an auditorium and the stage, but it being turned around because everybody's a participator. Everybody's not performing in a sense, but everybody's got their part to play. And along with that, as Alan mentioned, the Kingdom Mentoring, so there's a few leaflets there. This will run a Thursday night every fortnight, but it's not just a kind of something you come to every fortnight. It's something that we want to see where Helen and I can input to you throughout the course of the year in different ways. And it's not just a teaching, although there'll be a teaching aspect to it, but very much a kind of mentoring the things of God in our life, the things of the Spirit, going in that greater journey, that development, and developing the ministry potential that is in each and every single one of us. So we come just to the final week of our series on being a house of prayer and worship. Could teach in this stuff for at least 2 years, I think, every Sunday. And as Alan says, this is something Helen and I have been carrying, living with for a long, long number of years and have been teaching for a long, long time. And so we've just been bringing out just some sort of key things along the way. And I hope you're getting something of the picture. I'll kind of reinforce that a little bit today. I really believe in the value of reinforcement. I need to hear things several times before they get through the kind of thickness around my skull and into my brain and then down into my heart and my spirit. And so if you say, oh, Stephen's just repeating himself, it's just because I really want to get it kind of into us. The last two or three weeks, last couple of weeks, Shona and then Alan looked at just the power of praise and the rightness of praise in our life. You know, why do we spend time singing like we did this morning? Why do we spend time singing praise to God or giving thanks to God? Because one, it's just simply the right thing to do. God is who he is. Therefore, he's worthy of praise. It's not that he needs our praise. He doesn't need his ego developed. It's kind of like God is, he's as developed as he's going to be, isn't he? God is God. He's perfection. And so what we give to him does not add to him, but it adds something to us because we're standing in a right alignment to God as we recognize who he is, appreciate who he is, and then give expression to that. And part of the whole house of prayer and worship idea is that praise is such a significant part in that. Such a significant part, because one of our key starting points that I've been just teaching on these weeks is that we begin just in that place of beholding the Lord, of who he is, being impressed with Jesus. It makes all the difference to the way we are then going to pray, the way we are then going to live. If we have that picture in our minds, that perspective coming from who God is, that he is for us, he is with us, it makes all the difference to every challenge we're going to face, to every situation we're going to seek to break through in. And so the house of prayer and worship, just that very gate of heaven, a place where heaven meets earth, a place that we saw Jacob in Genesis chapter 8, that he kind of happened upon this place. He just came to a place. He didn't deliberately set out to go to this place called that would be called Bethel. He didn't have a great plan. He just kind of happened upon it. I don't know if you've ever found that as in your walk with God or in your life, that some of the best things are things that we just happen upon. Some of the things that we carefully plan, that we get very strategic about, don't always lead to anything too much. Sometimes we just seem to stumble upon something. Because God is at work in our lives. He's just you know, doing stuff behind the scenes. And again, I've just found that it's not about my great plans. It's not about what I've thought out or worked out. It's just something of what God just brings me to happen upon. And Jacob happens upon this place, and he's come to a place where his grandfather Abraham had built an altar of praise and worship and called upon the name of the Lord. And there's an opening of heaven, a very gate of heaven. And it's a picture that God wants us all to see, because it's what he's always doing. He's wanting to release the things of heaven upon the earth. The things of heaven upon the earth. And so the key kind of, I'm going to read a couple of other scriptures later, but a key kind of scripture for us right now is just what Jesus gave us in his prayer, Matthew 6:10. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Bringing something of heaven upon the earth. The very gate of heaven, the meeting of heaven and earth. And so we go through these three stages, I believe, in prayer that I want us to lay this kind of foundation in. One is beholding the Lord. Beholding the Lord. Just gazing, as David talked about in Psalm 27, gazing upon the beauty of the Lord, recognizing who he is. And that's the key as we face everything in life. If we know who God is and that he is for us, it makes all the difference to everything. It makes all the difference to everything. Receiving from him, receiving that revelation where we hear and see from him, that the prayer that will shift things on earth doesn't begin again in our thoughts. It begins in the mind of God. God's purposes for the earth are greater than our purposes. His purposes for here in White Inch in Glasgow are greater than what we would ask, think, or imagine. So the key for us is to receive revelation, to hear and see in the Spirit that he would show us what he is doing, what he is up to, and we align ourselves with that. Jesus spoke that way of his own life. In John 5, he speaks about, I do nothing except what I see the Father doing. I do nothing of myself. I only do what I see the Father doing. He says, I do not speak my own words, but I speak the words that I hear from the Father. Jesus models for us this relationship of sonship that we're all called into, sons and daughters, we're all called into this relationship of sonship, this relationship of seeing and hearing from the Father and bringing forth what he's doing upon the earth. And so we receive from him and then we release that. Let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We looked at both praying in faith and praying in the Spirit, and these are two key things. If we're going to pray in faith, how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. So we've got to saturate ourselves into the Word of God. We've got to get the Word of God deep into us, that it would dwell richly in us, as Paul talks about in Colossians. That we've got to spend time in His Word and let it speak, let it soak into the fabric of our being. Let it become something to us. And out of that, faith begins to arise. And faith is so important. We're going to finish this morning looking at Elijah. And it talks in James of Elijah saying that the prayer of faith, the prayer of faith, the prayer of a righteous man in faith is powerful and effective. And we want to pray in faith and we want to pray in the Spirit, led by God's Spirit. We're not doing this thing on our own. Sometimes we cry out in prayer because we feel isolated. We feel as if all sorts of stuff's gone wrong. We feel as if we're in a dark place or whatever. And we can all experience those times in life. That's how it seems to us. But what God wants to bring us more and more into is this. We're walking this constant relationship of union with Christ, of his Spirit working in us. The Spirit prays through us. It says in Romans, and I'm so thankful for that verse in Romans, that he helps us in our weaknesses, because we do not know what we ought to pray. And that's a real starting point. It humbles us where we say, I don't really know. But thank God that he's given us his Spirit who helps us in our weakness. And so as we pray in faith and we pray in the Spirit, there's two things I want to, and there's many more than this, but there's two key things about prayer. One is there is an asking, but also there is an announcing. In one sense, although we need encouraged in it, we're all fairly familiar with the asking. I think we all know how to ask. Some of us aren't very good at asking for things. Some folk are much better at that. Some of us have a bit of maybe a kind of independent way about us that we're just going to do it ourselves, and we never like asking for help, and we never ask for directions, and we just don't like asking. We need encouragement to do it. But I think we all understand the concept of asking. You've spent your life having to ask for things in all sorts of situations. And sometimes we can just see prayer as an asking. We're asking God to do something. But there's also a side to it that is us announcing things. And we're going to think about this morning about declaring and calling forth the word and will of God here upon the earth. There's also an announcing. And here's a really important thing that I think we need to understand. We mustn't keep asking God to do what he has authorized us to do on the earth. Don't keep asking God to do what he's authorized us to do on the earth. And I think as a church, we've done that so much. We ask God to do things that he's already given us, not just permission, but given us authority to do in the earth. And then we don't see it happen, and we fall into a place of discouragement or disappointment, and we feel God's not listening to our prayers. God's not answering us. But he's actually saying, I've already released that. I've already given you that. I've already authorized you to do that here on the earth. One of the areas that we see that very clearly in is the whole area of healing. We talk so much about praying for the sick, but the New Testament virtually never speaks in that language. Jesus never told his disciples to go and pray for the sick. Now, does that mean I don't believe in praying for the sick? Does that mean I don't believe in healing today? Well, what was I doing running healing rooms for 9 years if that was the case? But what I do believe in is that we need to take very seriously and correctly what Jesus spoke and what he teaches in the Bible. And he never told his disciples to go and pray for the sick. He told them to go and heal the sick. Now, we get ourselves a bit worked up at that because to us that sounds presumptuous. But it's only presumptuous if we do something that is out with and beyond God's will and God's authorization into our lives. If he has given us permission, indeed command, and therefore authority, to heal the sick in Jesus' name, then it's simply disobedience not to do it. And to ask God to keep doing things that he's given us the authority to do will lead us into a place of frustration and disappointment. And we need to step into a boldness based on the word of God, never our own ideas. You know, you can't make this stuff up and just speak it out and it's going to happen. You've got to follow what he's revealed through his word and through his spirit. And so one of the ways that works is often what we call a word of knowledge. And what we mean by that is sometimes where God reveals something that he's doing. He reveals something that he's doing, and then how do we respond to that? So let me tell you a little story. Helen and I and a couple of young folk who we were mentoring at the time went up to do a little healing training session up north, way up in the middle of nowhere. So it was a November evening that we went, a Friday evening we went up, and we put the postcode into the sat-nav. Now, it was a little tiny village we were going to, and we were to go to the community hall. And by the time we're getting there, it's about 6 o'clock, it's dark. We can hardly see where we're going on this little country road. And just following the sat-nav where it's taking us. And you get to that moment where it announces to you that you have arrived at your destination. So as it announces this to us, we stop in the middle of a little country road with fields on either side, can't hardly see a thing. There's no lights, there's no buildings, there's nothing. So we come to a really clever conclusion between the four of us that we actually have not arrived at our destination. Now, just a few minutes before, we passed through a little village. So we're smart people. So we turn around and we go, let's go back there. And we see a house with lights on. So there's two young men with us in the back of the car. I'm in the front and there's Helen. So what do us three men do? We say, Helen, you should go up to that house and ask for where this hall is. So we do that. We say, off you go. And Helen goes up and knocks the door. And this old man answers the door, and he takes Helen into the house. And he shuts the door. And I think he actually locked the door behind him as well, didn't he? But we're sitting in the car fine. And we know Jesus is with her, so she'll be okay. He's promised not to leave her or forsake her. She'll be fine. And it turns out that this lovely little man was actually involved in building this community center. He knew exactly where it is, and he directs us around there. So we get there, all very good. And middle of nowhere, so there's just about 10 or 12 folk along at this little training evening. And as we're just having a little time of worship at the beginning, I sense God show me something. And I sense he shows me somebody falling off a bicycle, driving down a kind of country lane, falling off a bicycle into a ditch. I can kind of see this. And they injure their ankle quite badly as they fall from the bicycle. And I think, okay, if this is what you're doing, God, I've got to do some of this. I've got to announce this. Now, if you're in a meeting with 300 or 400 people and you get a little word, oh, somebody here's got back pain. There's a fair chance that there might be a few folk among a few hundred with back pain. But to get a word as specific as somebody falling off their bicycle, hurting their ankle, when there's about 10 people there, you're thinking, I could say this, and they all look at me blankly and think, and then, you know, it's going to be fairly hard to recover the rest of the evening after that. But anyway, you've got to be obedient to what you feel God shows you. So I say this, and there's this chap there, and he said, that's exactly what happened to me the other day. And he's kind of a bit blown away because he'd come a wee bit. We've got to know him a little bit since then. He came a little bit kind of skeptical about all this healing stuff that night. But he's absolutely blown away because it's exactly what happened just a few days before he'd fallen off his bicycle into a ditch and really hurt his ankle. Now, what do you do with that? Do you then say, okay, we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray for this ankle and we're going to ask God to come and heal? No. Because God's already shown this is what the Father's doing. He's already revealed something. He's made it very, very, very clear. And he's given us authority. So it's not presumptuous. It's simply obedience to then for us to speak to that ankle and say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And it was. And one of the greatest things that I think God wants to teach his church today is to act on the authority that he has given to us. An authority that comes out of relationship, that comes out of our sonship, our union with him, a representation of him on the earth, and a listening and obedience to the word of God and to the Spirit of God. And we can all do this. There's a beginning point for every one of us. You may say, Stephen, that sort of thing's never happened to me. That's all right for you. But you know, it's actually not all right for me. It's actually still very challenging for me when I get a word like that, actually to speak it out. And it all had to begin somewhere. And for every one of us, there's a beginning point where you just go for it, where you just step out. And the great thing here in this church is that you've a culture of permission. There's a culture of permission in this church. And you've got to understand that and know that you have permission to have a go. We have permission to get it right sometimes. We have permission to get it wrong sometimes. Nobody's going to stone you if you get it wrong. But as we step out, we begin to grow in our just that understanding of the way God speaks to us. And faith begins to rise for more to come. So faith must be announced. We've got to do something with faith. Faith, when we believe God for something, we have to speak that out. We have to speak that out. Paul says in Corinthians, I believed, therefore I spoke. If you believe in your heart, you must confess with your mouth. That speaks of salvation in Romans 10, but that principle is still the same all through our walk with God. If we believe something, you've got to announce it and speak it out. And so we're to declare the word and the will of God. If you get the next slide up. Declaring the word and the will of God. And if you remember, if you were here 3 weeks ago, if you weren't here 3 weeks ago, where were you? I was speaking and you weren't here. But you can maybe listen to it later. But if you were here 3 weeks ago, I told the story when we were back in Castle Milk, how God spoke to me one night and said that we'd cursed ourselves as a pure church. And we broke that whole thing and just saw a whole incredible turnaround financially and so forth for the church and in resources. And what we did when God gave that revelation, we started declaring something. We started declaring, we are not a poor church. We began to speak out the opposite of what we'd been under. And it's really important that we declare things, that we speak things. You see, so many people speak negative stuff over their life. So many people speak over themselves in ways that put themselves down, that limit themselves. I can't do this. I'm no use at that. I'll never manage to. And we speak negative things. But God doesn't want us just to speak positive things, like making it up. He wants us to speak true things. And we find truth in the Word of God. We find truth in God's definition of us. We find truth in what God says about us. We find truth in what God says we can do. Now, in this relationship with Jesus Christ, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Begin to work that one out in your life and begin to declare and speak that forth in your life. We speak forth what God shows us in the Spirit. We speak forth the Word of God. We can do that with so many verses. I just put up a couple here as possible examples. Great verse at the end of Peter's sermon. He's quoting from the book of Joel, of course, in Acts chapter 2, where it says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I love that phrase. I love that verse. I love the truth of that. That the good news of God's salvation, his deliverance, his freedom, his healing, is available to everybody. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord can and will be saved, delivered, and set free. What a promise. And there's something about us speaking these things out, declaring the Word of God. That's why the Word of God needs preached, not just preached from the, you know, like people like me or Alan standing up front of my mic, but it needs preached, proclaimed, announced again and again and again. And as we speak things forth, something happens in the spiritual realm. A spiritual dynamic is released that causes things to begin to happen, to begin to shift. I remember years back when we were in Casamot, we used to sing a song. I can't remember the song now, but it had that line in it. Remember that, Helen? It had that line, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And like every week we sang it, somebody got saved. And I kind of think we should sing this song every week. But it was kind of like, it seemed to be, God was just showing us, I think, that as you declare this, as you announce this, as you speak out this truth, you're releasing something over yourselves in the spiritual dynamics that allows things to begin to happen that wouldn't otherwise. We need to recognize our responsibility to declare and to call things forth, to make announcement. Again, one of our kind of drawbacks has been that we've sometimes just believed that things will happen because they'll just happen. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. God will just, if God's going to do it, he'll do it. Well, God has given us the commission to do things on the earth. He's given us the commission to speak things forth. And if we don't, it actually won't happen. It won't happen. And we've got to be the announcers of good news, the announcers of salvation, the announcers of what God is doing. Second verse up there is, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. What a declaration that is. That's not just a verse you read. It's a declaration of truth that we can speak over our lives. It is true. The Lord is your shepherd. That's who he is to you. He's a shepherd who protects, who provides, who guides, and all the rest that he does for you. That's a statement of faith. The Lord is my shepherd. And we declare our inheritance through that. The Lord is my shepherd. Therefore, the consequence of that is that I shall lack nothing. Wow. I shall not want. And I've declared that over my life many, many, many times. It sustained me through times just of trusting God for provision over many years. The Lord is my shepherd. That is truth. Therefore, I shall lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd, therefore I speak into the circumstances of my life and I command them to line up with the word of God that I shall lack nothing. And we would see the outworking of that again and again and again. So let me encourage you, speak out the truth of who God is to you. And speak out and declare what is then the consequence of that. And see things begin to come forth in your life. So let's just look at two quick scriptures. I'm not going to spend much time on these. Just two quick scriptures. Mark chapter 11. Mark 11. You got your Bible there. Mark 11, 22. It says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. That it's really important to have this, you know, where we behold the Lord, where we have our gaze upon him, because we don't just have faith in any old thing. We don't have faith in faith. We have faith in someone. We have faith in God. And we've got to have that recognizing and beholding of who he is. Have faith in God. For assuredly, that's Jesus emphasizing something, assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask or desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And the next verse is fairly important too in terms of prayer. When you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Really important that we have that flow of grace and forgiveness out of our life so that we can keep receiving everything God has for us. But I just want to focus on a little bit here that Jesus says, say to this mountain. Sounds almost ridiculous, doesn't it? Now, he's not looking at, you know, Ben Lomond and saying, speak to that mountain and cast it into the sea. But he's saying to these guys, look at the mountains. Look at the mountains in your life. Look at the obstructions in your life. Look at the things that dominate over your life that should not have power over you. Look at those things that cause you grief. And he says, say to this mountain. Say to this mountain. He doesn't say, ask God, go on your knees and beg God, oh, please, will you remove this mountain from me? He's saying, you have been given something. If you have faith in God, then speak to that mountain and command it to be removed and cast into the sea. He's saying to us, look at the things in your life that are obstructing your walk, that are hindering you, that are holding you back, and speak to them the truth of God's word. Speak to them out of a spirit of faith that these things would be removed. Speak out and speak to the purpose of God in your life. Don't speak to the things that are holding you down. Speak to the purpose of God for your life. God has good purposes for you to prosper you, to cause you to flourish. Speak to that. Speak into that and call that forth and see God's purpose begin to be released. Not only for ourselves, but we need to do the same for our area here, for our city. Speak to the mountains. God has given us an authority to represent him here on earth and to speak to things that they will be removed, that the way will be opened for his kingdom to come and his will to be done. And just want to finish with Elijah, as we said. So 1 Kings chapter 18. We looked at Elijah earlier in the series when we talked about just building that altar of prayer where he repairs the altar of God, the altar of worship, and calls down the fire from heaven. And after that great victory over the prophets of Baal, you see the fire came, but the land didn't need fire. The land needed rain because there'd been a drought for 3.5 years. There'd been a drought for 3.5 years. So when God answers by fire and the people turn back to the Lord, says 1 Kings 18 verse 41, then Elijah said to Ahab the king, go up and eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. Now at this point, the sky is blue. It has not rained for 3.5 years in the land. And Elijah says, you better get moving because there is a sound of an abundance of rain. Now here's the thing. Nobody else hears that. King Ahab doesn't hear it. Elijah's servant who's with him doesn't hear it. None of the other people hear it. So Elijah looks like a bit of a nutcase because he's saying there's a sound of rain when nobody else hears it. And sometimes when God shows us the things that are to come that we're to call forth, we stand out a bit as, well, what on earth are you talking about? But we take hold by faith. So it says the next verse, so Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel. And then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now, look towards the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. There is nothing. Now at that point, Elijah could easily have become discouraged. At that point, he could easily have said, I thought I heard something. I thought I heard God speak. I thought I heard something in the heavens that there was a sound of rain coming, but we don't see anything. But that's where we don't live by sight, we live by faith. And Elijah presses in and he says to him, go again. And 7 times he said to him, go again. How many would have given up after 2 or 3? How many would have given up after 5? Maybe 6. You know, maybe almost got there, got to 6. And you just stop short. But Elijah just keeps sending him back because he knows what he's heard. He knows what he's heard from the sound of heaven. And he's not going to let go. So he presses in. And the 7th time, it says, then it came to pass the 7th time that the servant says, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. Elijah sees something in the spirit, but it's not there in the natural. And in the place of prayer, he has to call forth that which is being released in the heavens. He has to call it forth on the earth. He has to persevere even though there is no tangible sign of this happening? And how many times has God maybe given to you a word and you're thinking, I thought I heard from God, but I just don't see any sign of it. I thought I heard from God, and I've waited and I've pressed in maybe 4 or 5 times, but you know, I've just got discouraged and I haven't seen any sign of it. And you've just begun to let go. You've begun to give up. And the Lord would say to you today, you heard what you heard from me. Keep going. Go look again. Go look again. Go look again. Call forth what I've promised. Don't allow disappointment, discouragement, or the lapses of time to take away from you what you heard from heaven. And I've seen some of the things that I believe God spoke to me come forth very quickly. There's other things that I am still waiting for, maybe 30 years on. And I won't say that, you know, there's never been moments where I've thought, well, maybe I didn't hear right. I know there have, but you've got to just get that focus back in again. If God has spoken, then God has spoken. I'm going to take hold of that, and I'm going to call it forth and call it forth and call it forth. Elijah presses in. He hears something. And as we hear something, it needs to be apprehended and announced and called forth upon the earth. And as we press on to be a house of prayer and worship, it's so important that we're a people who get into that place where we gaze upon the Lord, but we open up our ears, our understanding. What is the Spirit saying? On the day of Pentecost, it says there was a sound from heaven. And I believe there's sounds coming from heaven. God is speaking. God is revealing. And he's looking for a people who'll get before him in a way that we will hear and see, not just for our own lives, but for our area, for our city, for our nation, to see his kingdom come, to hear the things of God, and then have the boldness in the Spirit to take hold of that in faith and call it forth, declaring, announcing beforehand, even if it makes us look out of sync and makes us look silly. We announce beforehand, we declare, we speak it out, and then we begin to see it come forth. God has great and mighty things to do. He's looking for a people who'll listen, who'll take hold, and who'll call forth. Why don't we stand together? Let's just take a few moments as we worship, just to behold the Lord, to have faith in God. Have faith in God, Jesus says. Have faith in God. Or maybe there's some mountains in your life right now. Just ask the Lord, show me, are there mountains that I need to speak to? Are there mountains in my life that I need to say to this mountain, be removed? Be removed out of my life. Be removed from my path. Are there words from God? Are there sounds from heaven that you've heard over the years that you just need to be encouraged afresh today to take hold of once more? To go again and see, look for the sign, to call forth again the rain from heaven to come. Father, put into us today a fresh understanding of who we are in you and what you've authorized us to do here on earth. Let faith arise among us to speak to the mountains, to clear the way for your kingdom to flourish and come forth in greater measure in our lives, in our families, in this place, in this city, in this nation. Father, stir within us that tenacity like Elijah had to take hold of, to apprehend, and to call forth your word and your will upon the earth. Thank you, Jesus.